together. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. It is a holiday weekend, but we do not take a holiday from God, do we? He doesn't take a holiday from us. So let's just worship the Lord for just a minute and open the service with prayer. Thank you, God, for your presence this morning. Lord Jesus, for the songs that have been chosen. Lord, for the singers who are here. Oh, God, to lead us in worship. But more than anything, we want your presence here. Oh, God, be with us this morning. You said we're two or three. We're gathered in your name that's where you would be. So be with us, God. We pray for Brother Davis this morning as he ministers, as he teaches. Anoint him, Lord. Anoint our ears that we could hear. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is a wake-up song. So let's put our minds to it.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Good and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you.
We worship. praise the Lord.
We worship your name, Jesus. You are good all the time. Hallelujah. Every day you're good to me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
When I think about the Lord,
how he's changed me,
he turned me around, how he placed
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Shake hands with about five people around you. I know you're going to do it again later, but we're going to keep you, try to do something to keep you awake. Hallelujah. Morning to Psalms 107. I'm going to just read one verse so you can be seated, and then later on I will make reference back to the setting of this verse or of the study today. Psalms 107 verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. You may be seated, but keep that spot open in your Bible, because we'll be coming back to you. Brother Davis has learned to be, now I'm for the senior citizens. Hallelujah. I'm not for just the teens anymore. I remember when somebody came here about 40 years ago, he was, very involved with the teens and kind of showing them that I was just as strong and just as fast and just as good looking as they were. But now I'm slow, and now I can't remember anything, and amen, I'm injured. But God is good, amen. When it all comes down to that bottom line with us, we know that God is good. Now, I pray that we believe that with a strong conviction, amen, that our God is a good God. Amen. A lot of times we are deceived, and we get ourselves thinking, and we wonder that and question that possibly once in a while. I don't remember ever sitting around thinking about how bad he was after he saved me. Matter of fact, even before he saved me, I appreciated the power of God and the things of God. I just didn't want to do them, which left me worse off, amen, than those who did not know that. And so we're going to look at this today to see that God is good by nature. It's one of his attributes. It is something that is always there, and he puts that in us. And we know that from the gifts of the Spirit, or that God has given us, or the fruit of the Spirit, I should say. And God is just good. That's picking him out of a number of things, but in everything he does, he does good at everything he does. Hallelujah. Most people, even some of the greatest athletes, aren't good at everything. Amen, but especially the good things. But when it comes to good and God, amen, God is always good, and we enjoy his presence in our lives. Psalms 107, verses 1 through 15, I'm going to read those for you. While you're seated there, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Gather them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north, from the south. And they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, and they found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses and led them forth by the right way, that they might go into the city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works in the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing of the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, and such as sat in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound by affliction and iron, and because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned, amen, the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands asunder, in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, amen, and his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that God would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works toward the children of men. Let's just give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah, for his goodness. Hallelujah, that his mercy endures forever. God, that you're good, you always have been, will always be to those people that love you and serve you and keep your word in Jesus' name. It just comes natural for him to be good. Amen. Many of us probably don't have such a good time with that. I've had this problem in my home in the last few days to where I just keep getting phone calls from all over the world. Amen. I mean, they come in from, you know, California. They come in, I got one a couple the other day from not even in the United States. And they're all promoting the same item. So I just got a little ungood, I guess. And I told them I want it to stop now, you know. And they all seemed to know what I was talking about when I talked to them, because I think I've got most of it stopped and I know how to stop it. I'm not really mean, but I just wanted them to emphatically know, amen, that I don't appreciate all the my phone ringing every time I want to rest. And so there's probably some times that we do not know that because, amen, in our finiteness, we are too limited, amen, of everything to have every moment of every life. You think of the best of the best, amen, and there will be something there that person can look back in their life and say, I'm not for sure that that's how Jesus would have handled it, amen, because he is good. And we know that because he's good to me, amen. There's not anybody that would appreciate it, and I know you would feel this about yourself, the goodness of God and the forbearance of God that we'll make mention a little bit later in the study, amen. There's something about that I appreciate that because I feel like I carried that out to the max, amen, to the point to where I knew God was good. I knew that God wanted to save me, that God wanted to bless me, but I just wanted to do other things. I mean, it was ever there. Never got comfortable in church, amen, just everything I knew about God. But yet, I thank God that my parents made me go to church. I would not have told them that a number of years ago, but the good part of that is it's got me into a place to where I realized that when the time came, amen, even though it was something more powerful than I had in my mind, amen, and heart, that God was going to be there. We're living in a day to where it's almost to the point to where we wonder if there's really anybody good out there. And I know that there is, and you know that there is, and we look at our church, and if you stop and think and look down the pew and on the platform and across everybody, amen, the bottom line, I really believe that we're a church that's caring and that we're a church that believes in God. We just got to let God anoint the caring aspect of our life and realize, amen, as we taught you, you ought not to be offended and you ought not to offend. And if you keep those two principles in your life, you realize that life will go along pretty good if I won't be offensive, nor will I be offended if somebody offends me. Amen? God is just too good. He's the one that we represent. So we look at our politicians, we look at our teachers, we look at pastors, we look at ministries, amen. Some of them are totally independent, some of them are a part of an organization. I don't know where you ever go to find somebody that is going to be good all the time. It just is not going to happen. And if it's not good for any other reason, maybe it's good to just get our minds off that person and let God direct our minds and thoughts to him. And I guarantee if we would worship God and direct our thoughts in that direction, amen, that we would love the words like, amen, his mercy endureth forever. Amen. And his name is full of great blessings and things that God wants to give to us. And so we want the Lord to continue to come into our lives, amen, and be good to us, which he will be. I don't think there'd be anybody else come up here and say, well, I don't know about you folks, but God has never blessed me one time. Amen. Matter of fact, I know better than that. If anything, we benefited from so many blessings, amen, that God puts within our lives. And so, you know, we look at people today. The shame of it is, as soon as somebody makes a small mistake, we want to think that they're either hypocritical, amen, or disingenuous, amen, in what they do in life. And that is a critical spirit that can rise within us. Amen. That there ought to be a defense. Matter of fact, if you have a best friend, and it's only one best friend, and you do yourself every bit of your, you know, trying to defend that person, amen, I guarantee you there's even a fault in them. And so we're not looking for a faultless church or a flawless church, but what we're looking for is a church that is good because our leader is good. Matter of fact, I can't think. And matter, you know, we know there's different opinions about different politics out there, but when I look at that, is there any good? No, not one. Nobody that is totally, absolutely good at every moment and every decision. It used to be a state amongst us that you can't be religious and be a politician because there will just come times sometimes, and it's true, that you have to lie. You say, well, you don't have to lie, but in some ways you do. You have to conceal the truth if nothing else. And if somebody asks you a question, you might fudge a little bit and be partially right and partially wrong. But to be full of that truth. We live in a messed up world and messed up politicians. And good people sometimes find themselves in very awkward positions because of the evil that has gone on around them has surpassed the good that was there when you look at humanity. I mean, I see all these things that come across Facebook, and this one has done this, and this one's done this, and I don't care how far you go back. Somebody was like that just about ever since we've had politics. I have shared with a lot of people. I've just gone through a couple books that relive the history of our country's development. And it was even, no matter how good it was almost as wicked then as it was today when you get into the realm to where people are setting up politics. Jesus was not about politics. Amen. Jesus was concerned about the world knowing, and what a beautiful case it was that there is somebody, amen, that is good, and his goodness and his mercies, they endure forever. And so when we think about our God, let's think about his goodness and him alone. And let us think about those that we know that need help spiritually. Amen. Could come to God and realize how good God is. I believe our country has been blessed for many years because of that. And so, you know, we know that the Lord is good. And he proves that within his word. Defined in the Hebrew translation, it would mean that it is a word of a range of meaning of determined by context that it's used in, refers to what a person or place has, Genesis 24 and 10. Well-being in Proverbs 11 and 10. In happiness, Deuteronomy 28, 47. Success, happiness sent by the Lord, possessions, blessings, salvation, produce of the land, all of these come. Forgiveness of sins, amen. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 7. Those are things that bring out to us that that is the goodness that is defined. Amen. And God is in all of them. And sometimes we might just need to look at some of the evaluations that it puts in. Is everything well-being all the time? No, but there's still room for goodness in that, that God is that minister. God's goodness is great. Amen. And that means consistent. He is the greatest of all. Amen. I like the songs when they talked about him being champion and how he's overcome and what he's done, not for his sake, but for our sake. Amen. We should not ought to have to say and ever come to us that God just is not fair. Now, God, it doesn't seem that he's always fair, but we know that he is. We know that he's always good. It's his attribute. It's what he is. He is love also. He loves at all times. He loves everybody. Amen. No matter how degenerate or how godly they are or how much they've been confused by society, amen, God looks upon that person and has a great love for them. The goodness of God is described as great in Nehemiah 9:25. Psalms 31 and 19. I go on, and I'm just going to read a couple of these verses, maybe for those of you that are taking notes. It suggests an abundance of goodness. In other words, God is never miserly, which means he's stingy. But God wants to overwhelm us in his call upon our lives and his goodness in our lives. Goodness of God, and this is one of my favorite verses I made reference to earlier, that God's goodness leads us to repentance. It says, oh, despise us those. This is Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. And if you've not got it marked in your Bible, you ought to, because it is one of those verses that you need. Amen. At times when you're frustrated, you come to some of these things. Notice it says in Romans 2 and 4, God's goodness leads to repentance. Or despisest thou, O man, that thou, the riches of the goodness of his forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, even not to be repented of or not to ever be regretted. I think there are some people that come to the place. I don't know that I've ever met anybody that has gone through a repentance experience to where they will let you know that there was great power, there was great conviction, there was a shedding of tears, there was a brokenness. Amen. And part of that is in the appreciation. For example, in my life, it was 18 and a half years being raised in a good church, a strong church, a lot of good preachers through there. Just about everybody that came, I felt God's conviction, but I never humbled myself or became obedient to that conviction, but I knew God was good. Had it all figured out. I'd let him in sometime. You know, we're just not there yet. But when it was there, and I called this word, and I know it's not in our lesson. Without that, you know, if he was like some people, you get one chance, and that's it. Amen. I never forget how you offended me. I want to tell you something. I know these pews this morning, and every one of you have had more than one offense against him. Amen. Not just against a person. In our lifetime, it just happens. But with God, thank God it's this way with God. Amen. There is a forbearance. We know there's also a long suffering. That he stayed with us a long time. He's going to have to punish us, even with us not being his children yet as far as the adoption. Amen. There's still things that he will not let happen in our life so that we can somehow draw close to us. God thinks toward every man, amen, in goodness of what he does. It says, God in his riches, goodness, forbearance, long-suffering attempts to lead them to repentance. Those who take advantage of the delay of judgment in sin further despise the goodness of God. He is attempting to help avoid judgment, but they are refusing his help. Amen. There are people like that. That was Brother Davis when I was a kid, all the way up until a young adult. It wasn't God's fault. It was my fault. And thank God it was his power and not my power that saved me. Amen. The scripture tells us that we should delight ourselves in goodness, in his goodness. And it shall be that when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land that he sware by thy fathers to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee that fillest not wells dig, that thou diggest not vineyards, amen, and olive trees which thou plantest not, and when thou shalt have eaten full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 through 12. But notice all of these things that God says. When you come into this promised land, all things are going to be good. You're going to have a house you didn't build, fields that you didn't plant, amen, other things that goes on within your life, because you're going to walk into something that you realize, I did not have to pay anything for. This was God's goodness to me. Our salvation, the gift of the Holy Ghost, amen, to forgive those around about us has more of an impact upon our lives and a challenge to us. We need to understand that God is good. And because we have God, we should be good. God is love. And if any man loveth, the Lord opens that up to everybody. Everybody can love all the time. When you think about the fruit of the Spirit and every attribute that is placed there upon God, it's always there. Sometimes in our offenses, we don't run to the person that is guilty. We need to run to those fruit of the Spirit that makes us, amen, more tolerable in ourselves. To where actually we know that people care, because there is, it's a very important thing that we adhere to the will of God and the things of God. God's goodness is available. Amen. It says, then they cried unto the Lord out of their trouble. Everybody say trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. Everybody say distresses. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. They got themselves into trouble. God's business is to get you out of it. And all you have to do to get out of it is listen to him and do his will. Let's give the Lord a good hand offering. Brother Davis, years ago, had a man in this church, not here and hasn't been here for a long time, walk up and tell me, said, well, Brother Davis, I can forgive you, but I can't forget the scar you left. And he probably deserved a scar. More than one. Not a star, a scar. Amen. But you know what I did? I never let that bother me. You know, it doesn't do any good to do that. I know who I am, what I do. I know what he is and what he did. And he wasn't a bad man. He just, I think he felt like defending something he really thought that I had done wrong. And I'm not saying I have never been wrong, but in this particular circumstance, I just had to make a decision, you know, that had to be done. And so what he was telling me, well, I know I'm forgiven, but I'll never forget it. You know what I hate about that phrase? A lot of people think, hey, that sounds cool. He promised you that he'd forgive you things that you're not forgetting. Hallelujah. And things that you're not repenting of. But we know that in God, that God not only, you know, forgives us, but he forgets the offense. It's driven into the wilderness, according to Old Testament teaching that makes its way into the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. Amen. Your sins are washed away, they are buried, they are gone, they are remitted. Amen. And who wants to give up on a God that is so good that no matter what we do, he tells us, I'm not going to have any scars. Amen. They're going to be in my body. But when it comes to you, I'm going to forget your trespasses. I'm going to forgive those trespasses. Amen. I'm going to restore you to complete and full restoration. Why? Because God is good and his mercy endures forever. That God is good and his mercy endures forever. Amen. That is a verse that ought to strengthen our life and ungird us of whatever happens in this life, to know that my God is good and his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. Let's give him a good hand offering. They were the one that was in trouble. They were the one, amen, that created their distresses. But the Lord comes along and lets them know that his mercy endures. Amen. The Lord, it says in Lamentations. Book of Lamentations is a book written by Jeremiah. And Jeremiah saw the terrible state. I want to tell you something. I think that when I speak of the church collectively, I'm talking about all religions and all things, our world is really in a great religious dilemma. They don't really want to stand behind anything. I'm not talking to you as a church. Amen. Sometimes it might apply in some of our churches that are out there. But as a whole, the churches I've been in, one of the problems that we have too much knowledge of the Word of God. And so we quote a scripture to somebody and says, oh, you're judging me. Well, you're not trying to judge them, and you're not going to hold a grudge against them. But to come to the realize, somebody had posted on Facebook a while back and said, why Republicans, and they were taking a shot at them, never read this verse. And what it dealt with was that in Leviticus that strangers will come into the world, and that you ought to take them in and bring them in. But I got on this and said, somebody goes in. Romans says that they come in, they live by our law. So, you know, there's somebody there who wasn't really very knowledgeable of the Word. Don't believe everything you read. Somebody could have said, oh, that's good. You know, that's really good. You know, we're supposed to bring them in. But if they come in, they're supposed to be, in our law system. They ought to be obedient to our laws. They ought to do what Jehovah told, amen, the children of Israel to do. And that's where it would be, because in reality, God is inviting them into the goodness. Amen. We're a country that has invited people for years into our country because we believe that our country is great, our country is good, but abide by our laws. There's so little regard for political law, but there's just as much, if not more, regard, amen, or less regard for the scriptural laws that we deal in. Amen. Talk to your neighbor. So they were refusing, but God wanted them to be delighting. He says, I've given you something that you can delight yourself in, that you can have a good feeling about that, and more than just a good feeling, an experience that you have with God. And he goes back into this, these things, amen, about the blessings that you're going to have when you get there, of those vineyards you didn't that you didn't plant, those houses you didn't build, those streets you didn't lay, everything that is there. When you come in, God is going to have everything for you to be partaking in, and that's where our joy comes from. I don't know about you, but I believe that God has given me, you know, as much and even more than what I realized that was promised, amen, in my walk with the world. When you come into the house of God, he gives you greater promises. His goodness is always available. Then they cried in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Two times God says, when you're in distress, you just remember me, because mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord. I got to get Lamentations chapter 3, verses 31. I'm going to read a few verses here in Lamentations. I give you, not on this page. It's a little different. This is Brother Wells' fault. He asked me if I wanted them, you know, printed on both sides, or if I just wanted it on one side, and I didn't even know what I wanted. I just say it sounds good. So I'm just reading book form here for you. Lamentations chapter 3:31. For those of you that still carry your Bibles, amen. The Lord will not cast off forever, but though he causeth grief, yet he hath compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. He doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush them under all of the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside to the right of man before and the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause. The Lord approveth not. But he says, I do not willingly affect this. There's things God does that he doesn't want to do, because you will not let him do those things, amen, by surrendering to God's goodness and God's salvation, amen, and his holiness. Literal translation of this is, he doth not afflict willingly. He does not afflict from his heart. Amen. He might have to do it, but he doesn't want to do it. It's almost like Dad saying, I really don't want to do this. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, you do. But in the love of God, God doesn't want to punish. God wants to bless. God wants to save. God wants to deliver. God wants to get you out of your messes. He would rather you not get in the messes. But if you're there, he's the one that wants to get you out. Hallelujah. In Jeremiah's Lamentations, he says, I recall this to mind, amen, and therefore I hope. What could possibly introduce the hope of the mist in the midst of a seemingly hopeless situation? The circumstances were dire in Jeremiah's eyes. He didn't like what he saw. He didn't like what he felt. Amen. He didn't like what was going on, the death that was happening, and the punishment and the sorrow and the pain that they were going through, because in another country, they were so dire that his eyes overflowed with tears in Lamentations 1 and 16. The corpses of young men and young women laying out in the streets of Jerusalem, Lamentations chapter 2 and 21. going on to the destruction and the death. God sees these, or Jeremiah sees that, and he did not like it. Then we go to 3:22-26. It says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because of his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. O Lord is my portion, saith the soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." Amen. It is a good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It's a promise that God says, I'm going to be there when it gets to the right place. You're there in your trouble, and I got to wait until you learn this lesson, because I'm willing to come back and redeem you out of all of those circumstances you've allowed yourself. We know that it tells us in the Word of God that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but the long-suffering toward us, not willing that any would perish, but all would come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. God does not want people to be lost. He doesn't want you to be lost. He doesn't want your family to be lost. When we look at that with a real conviction, we'll be more serious, amen, about getting off somewhere and praying for our family members that we know that are not right with God, or friends that are not right with God, and they're living in a sin that's going to cause them to perish. But God is saying, I'm not willing that any one of you perish. I don't care what their lifestyle is. There's still a hope. I remember John Wayne Gacy, a lot of people, when he was thrown into prison and had committed all the murders and heinous acts that he had committed and buried people in his basement. And people would say, God could not ever save somebody like that. Now, he came out and professed to have a conversion experience. But amongst us, most would say, I don't believe God saved him. And maybe he didn't. But I know one thing, God didn't want him to go to the, I've heard the testimony of other people that went to the electric chair, some in Texas and Oklahoma, and then Gacy up here, and it was all going on about the same time. A couple of them were converted and went out and were preaching in their states, amen, and telling them that they were going to have to die because what they did, that punishment merited death. And they had enough experience with God to go around to schools and tell young ladies to stay away from, one of them was a woman, away from prostitution and drugs. The other one was a young man that killed a number of people. When I say a number, just three or four, it's nothing according to today's standards, but it was still something that he felt the guilt of. But God wasn't willing for him to perish. When you look at the uttermost and you look at somebody like John Wayne Gacy, it would be nothing for God to save him and change him. And some people probably would not like that, but God's not willing. He warned Thyatira, you need to make your changes or else. You're going to have to repent. And yet God gave her a space of repentance. And I felt like Brother Davis in my life, that's where I was in God. I had my space. I needed to spend that night and a whole lot more the next day still repenting. Came back to church and God washed and cleansed me of all my sins and baptized me. I was baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. Felt so wonderful. Felt so clean. Felt so appreciative that God, to think that I've been where I've been and done what I wanted to do and ignored you for all these years, and yet all of a sudden I realize that you're not willing that I perish, but that I come to repentance and then baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And God gave me that great plan of salvation. And folks, I want to tell you something. It has all the capabilities in the world to do exactly what the Word said it would do. Amen. It's a truth that God has put within our lives. Amen. So much that God says, you forgive one another like I forgave you. And that type of loving one another like He, forgiving one another like He forgave us, it's all about that. Amen. I want to restore. Amen. I want to bring you back. I want that restoration to be complete. I'm not willing that any would perish. Amen. I'm not willing for you to perish. But every time you come into God's presence, Amen. You'll know that God is good. God is good. Praise the Lord. And we thank Him for our food. But we thank Him for a lot of other things also. Praise the Lord. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Brother Davis. Why don't you stand? Aren't you thankful for the goodness of God? The Bible says it's because of His mercy we are not consumed. Holy, righteous, perfect, good God. There is none good but one. That is God. This wonderful, amazing, good God has to deal with a world full of bad people. I'm thankful for His mercy. Lord, I'm here this morning because of Your goodness.
You are good.
I'm endeavoring to lead my family in a way that is right, Lord, because of Your goodness. Help me recognize how good You are.
You are good.
Let my praise spring forth from thoughts of Your goodness. Let my adoration come forth from a heart that cherishes Your goodness. Let the tears that well up in my eyes and fall from my face, God, let them be as a result of thinking on Your goodness.
Your kindness is forever.
You're so kind. You're so merciful. You're so long-suffering, God. Put up with so much from me, and You give me so much in return. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Your mercy is forever.
You're good. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
You are good. You are good.
Can you find a place to pray and thank God for His goodness? Can you spend a few moments reflecting? Can you take a little time to tell God how thankful you are for His goodness? Your goodness is why I'm standing here today, God.
You are good. You are good. You are good, and Your mercy is forever. You are good.
Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.
And Your mercy is forever. Your kindness is forever. Your goodness is.
Your goodness.
Oh, Lord, your kindness is.